We were having a discussion at our group's meal this evening, and I told him I was going to mention this. I won't tell you who the guilty culprits were, but they thought it would be a good idea for me to have everybody that's here to set their phones for an alarm at the time you think I should quit. I am very tempted to tell you who they were. But we won't do that. And if an alarm goes off, we haven't made the announcement yet, but I will do it now. Please silence your phones and turn those off. Demas. We're going to go and be spending most of our time in the book of 2 Timothy. And I want to have you to turn over there and be ready to read. But let me put two passages on the scripture on the screen first. Demas is mentioned only three times in the Bible. And the first of those is in the book of Colossians, chapter 4, verse 14. When Paul says, our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. And this is to the church at Colossae. The church, the book of Colossians and the book of Philemon were written at the same time, delivered by the same individuals. And Philemon was a member of the congregation or the church at Colossae. And Paul, writing to Philemon, will tell him, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And so Paul from prison will greet the people of Colossae and the people and Philemon. And he sends a lot of greetings to Philemon, but to the church at Colossae, he has other greetings. But in this one where he mentions Luke, he'll also include Demas. This is the Paul's first imprisonment. This is when he goes on an appeal to Rome in order to answer the charges that the Jews had brought against him. History tells us that he will be set free from that imprisonment, and he will go and continue on teaching the word of God. Some think that he even made the trip to Spain, but then he comes back to Rome and he's arrested. And when he's arrested this next time, he writes his last letter. And that's the book of 2 Timothy. And this is where Demas is mentioned again. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 4. And it begins with verse 9. And Paul will write this for us. Read along with me. If you have your Bibles, pay close attention to what's said. And we'll look at the instruction that the Apostle Paul is giving to Timothy. Do your best to come to me quickly. For Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Now, in that one sentence, we have all the information we know about Demas. He has deserted Paul in Rome. Paul, the prisoner, very near to death, and he has gone to Thessalonica. And Paul will say, he has deserted me because he loved this world. What does that mean? Well, you can think about it as we go through. And we'll come to look at some different things that may be true. We'll just raise questions about possibilities as we finish out our lesson in just a little bit. But I want you to think about this. I have to tell you that every time I've ever read this verse, I give this man a hard time. And every time I've read the verse and looked at it, I have thought of him in not very flattering terms. But how would I have been? How would I have been to have been Paul's co-worker and companion? And what would I have done? Now, I could get really on all of us. Were his grandchildren playing in Little League? Did he have season tickets and season was about to start? Did he have property? He wanted to be sure of how it was going, take care of it. I don't know what it was. We have no idea. But what keeps me from fulfilling the obligations I have said I'll take care of? If it be in a class or LTC coming up or so many other things, what is it that keeps me from fulfilling my obligations that I have? Is it this? There's other things that are more important to me than those things. And that seems to be the case here with Demas. He loved this present world, and therefore Paul is writing to Timothy, come to me quickly. And the only one with him right now is Luke. And he's writing to Timothy, come to me quickly. Because Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me, and he's gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. He doesn't tell us why. Doesn't put in the phrase, because he loved this present world. It just says he's gone there. Maybe Paul sent him. And Titus to Dalmatia, only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you because he is helpful to me in my ministry. I sent Tychicus to Ephesus. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas and my scrolls, especially the parchments. Let's go back and look at the verse and let's think about it. Demas has deserted me because he loved this world. The world here is not cosmos. It is not the planet. The word that Paul writes here is the word for age. Because he loves this age. He loves this time. This time period, this age that we are in. But the word cosmos is used in other places in regard to the warning. John will write, do not love the world. And he uses the word cosmos. So they're interchangeable, and they both mean the same thing, and they're both dealing with the same issue. When John will write, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And then James will write, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Now, those are hard things to hard sayings, and they're hard sayings to hear. But we're going to look at a comparison in just a minute that the Apostle Paul makes that I think helps us to see why this is so important and what's behind it. Jesus himself said, I love this, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Now, how many of you understand that? We've got a couple raising their hands. The rest of you never plowed, have you? Anybody who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for is not fit. No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. When I've told y'all this story before, when I was coaching Little League and we would have tournaments, they always asked me to chalk the lines, the batter's box lines and the line that went down first base line all the way to the fence and the line that went down third base line all the way to the fence. They asked me to do it because I could lay the chalk and I wouldn't need a rope or line laid out in front of me. I could do it and make a straight line and just walk it. And they would always say, how do you do that? And I say, well, you have to look where you're going. And what I meant by that was you pick out a spot at the far end of where you're going and you walk straight to it. And my uncle taught me that in plowing cotton fields and in planting cotton. You want straight rows of cotton. You pick out the point as far as you can see at the end of the cotton field and you drive straight to it. You don't deviate from it. And that'll give you straight rows. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying. You put your hand to the plow and you look back, you're not fit for the kingdom. When you put your hand to the plow of the kingdom, you stay focused and move straight ahead and look straight ahead. And you'll walk a straight path. If we have the focus. And I'll show you the focus again in just a second. With regard to this word deserted, it can be used in a negative sense or it can be used in a positive sense. When it's used in a negative sense, then it will carry the meaning of deserted. If it's used in a positive sense, it will carry the meaning of left behind or leave behind. And I'll show you verses. All the verses I'm about to put up are every place in the New Testament where this Greek word is used. Now, relax, there's not that many of them. But these are the places, and you'll find them very interesting to think about. Matthew 27, 46, my God, why have you deserted me? Jesus on the cross, a direct quotation from the Psalms. Acts chapter 2, verse 27, a quotation from the Old Testament regarding Jesus and his resurrection, that God would not abandon me, desert me to the realm of death, or abandon me or desert me to Hades. Romans chapter 9 and verse 29, the word is used in a positive sense, because this passage will tell us we would have become like Sodom and Gomorrah if the Lord had not left us descendants. And that's the Jews talking about all that they went through. And it's using the same Greek word, but it's using it in a positive sense. That God has left us descendants. Therefore, we weren't completely destroyed like Sodom and Gomorrah. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 9, Paul writes, we are persecuted, but we are not abandoned. We are persecuted, but we are not deserted. Then Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. Don't desert meeting together. And most of the time our translation mind goes back to do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, as the custom of some is. And the word there, do not forsake, means do not desert. Don't stop doing it. You meet together. He's not talking about you miss once sometime because you're sick, because you're out of town for some other reason, because you're taking care of somebody else. He's talking about abandoning or deserting the meeting together. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, the promise from God, I will never forsake you. I will never leave you, and I will never desert you. I will never forsake you. Going back to Demas, let's look at these, and let's look at two verses. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10. Then we're going to drop down and we're going to look at verse 16. In verse 10, Paul is writing to Timothy and he tells Timothy, when you come, bring Mark. For some reason, there it is. Verse 10, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me. And if you drop down to verse 16, Paul will say, at my first defense, no one came to my support, but everyone deserted me. Same word. Everyone deserted me. May it not be held against them. Does he include Demas in that? Is he hoping for change with regard to Demas? Acts chapter 15, verse 38, it's a different word altogether, but it has the same meaning. This is when Paul and Barnabas are getting ready to go on their second missionary journey, and they have a discussion as to whether or not to take Mark with them, John Mark. And Paul does not want to take him, the one that deserted them at Pamphylia. It uses the Greek, same Greek word, but it has the same meaning. But you see Mark mentioned here by Paul telling Timothy, bring Mark with you because he's useful to me. So even though he deserted at one time, and Paul didn't want him to go back again, his behavior and his change that took over him becomes different. And Paul has a different attitude toward Mark. So why did Demas leave? I have no idea. And the Bible doesn't tell us. And it's good to know that the judgment that Paul seems to be passing may not be the final judgment. And Paul is writing this and very upset and frustrated at the reason why he left. But here's some thoughts. Did he have some other interest? Was there something he felt that demanded his attention that had nothing to do with working with Paul? Do we ever have that? Can you imagine what it would be like working with Paul and say, oh, I've got this other matter. You remember what Jesus said when he was talking to people who wanted to be his disciples? That's what he was talking about when he said, anybody who puts his hand to the plow and turns back is not fit for the kingdom. Remember there was a man there that said, I need to go bury my father. And Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead. You follow me. This particular individual said, let me go back and say bye to my parents. And Jesus said, anybody who puts his hand to the plow and turns back is not fit for the kingdom. And Jesus is using all of those, all that language and all of those parables to say, I must come first. Seek first the kingdom of heaven. And all these other things will be added to you. And that's what he's talking about, what he says. So was it some other interest? Paul knew what it was. And he didn't think it was justified. Paul knew what it was, and he thought he was making the wrong choice. Was the life of faithfulness too demanding? Who's taking care of them? Who's feeding them? Who's listening to them? In a Roman prison with a man that has now had his day of death set, and Paul knows it. And he knows it's not far away. And how demanding was life to walk with Paul and to be there with him. And all the things that it took Demas away from. And all the things that he might very well never be able to take part in again. And he may have decided, I don't want to be here anymore. Was it fear of being associated with Paul? Was it the fear that if Paul is going to be put to death, what will happen to those of us that work with him? If Paul is going to be persecuted for belonging to Christ, what's going to happen to the rest of us? And was it fear of being associated with Paul? I have no idea what it was. I know what Paul said. He loved this present world more than he loved anything else, so he couldn't stay, or he wouldn't stay. Here's that contrast. Thinking about all this with Demas, I want you to read with me what Paul writes just before this statement about Demas, and it starts in verse 6. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near, and it will not be a peaceful death. It will not be a pleasant death. And he knows it. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now, I have kept the faith. Paul never put anything but the kingdom first after he came into Christ. There was never anything but the kingdom of God. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Did Paul long for Jesus to come back? Yes. He even ends his letters, "O Lord, come quickly." He was in anticipation that the Lord will come before he died. Then he discovered and figured out near the end of his life and near the end of his letters that he was wrong about that. While we think about and look at the coming of Christ as being at any time, Paul realized that there were other things that were going to occur before he came back. And so he had to change about that. But did Demas long for his appearing? Or was there something else more important than Jesus coming back and I want to take care of it? Was there something that was taking his focus off of seeking the kingdom of heaven first? Paul seems to write that way because of what had happened, but we don't know. Do hope that whatever it was, Demas came back to where he loved the kingdom of God more than he loved the things of this world. But I read this story and I can't help but think, Dwayne, you got a long way to go. And I wonder how many of us would say the same thing. I've got a long way to go in order to be putting the kingdom of heaven ahead of everything else. And that doesn't mean church work. That don't mean work with your family, work with your children, work with your neighbors doing good. Doesn't mean church work. It means being faithful to God and doing what God would have you to do. And doing that first and foremost above everything. And that's the way we're to live. That's the way Christ would have us to live. So, I don't want to say anything about Demas that's not true. We just go with the information and look at it. But it sure does give us an opportunity to think about how would I be in the situation he was in and how am I doing with my relationship to this world and to the kingdom of heaven. And really a bottom line question, do I want him to come back now? Do I want him to come back tonight? Would I ask for that? If not, why not? What is more important? And I need to answer that for myself. If you're ready to become a Christian, it's not an easy life. It's a challenging life. And if you're ready to come home to Christ, we'll offer you his invitation.